What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
Ross Clifford, good morning.
Good morning to you, Rodney.
Great to have you back again. Our regular look at spirituality and belief, and an interesting topic this morning.
Yeah, look, a sad topic. We're looking at Falun Gong, a very big religious movement in China and also growing in other parts of the world. The persecution of Falun Gong in China, their followers being executed for trade in body parts. That's what the evidence is pointing to. And also the persecution of other religious believers, including Christians in China. And what should we do about it?
It's an interesting one indeed. And I guess we have to sort of really grapple with this and think, well, are we getting the information, the real information out of China? Do we really know what's going on? And then once we have that information, what do we actually do with it?
Look, a good point. How reliable is information? We really don't know. All we know is that there are reports that there are up to 100,000 to 1 million Falun Gong people in labour camps in China, and many say they are there simply for their faith and belief. Other social commentators like Keith Suter, the well-known Australian social commentator, would say, yeah, look, there are reports that the Falun Gong are a bit disruptive in China. But having said that, you know, really, should they be in jail basically for their faith? And, the story about the execution of these Falun Gong believers for their body parts. And what has been called for is that the jails and the forced labour camps and the detention centres and related hospitals all be open to United Nations and other independent investigation to be able to establish one way or another whether this is taking place. Because, Rodney, we already know there is a trade in body parts in China for those who are executed. And you might have seen the Chasers program played this out really quite superbly the other night on television.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, but as I say, we need to know that the information we're getting is reliable, and that's still open to question because, I guess, of the secrecy. But I guess even if a little of what we hear is true, that is reason to be very, very concerned.
Yeah, look, it is. And the information is coming from people like David Kilgore. He's a former Canadian parliamentarian for many years, a former Crown prosecutor, a very strong, fine evangelical Christian man who I have met. And he is one of two Canadian representatives that are going around the world talking to governments about the evidence that they have for what's going on. And I give a website later where you can get into that sort of detail. And they're convinced that there is certainly strong evidence that people are being executed in China simply because of their religious belief in Falun Gong, and perhaps even some who are in underground Christian churches. And there is evidence that this is thousands upon thousands per year. See, what happens is that people go into China for a body part. They pay, you know, up to $150,000 for a lung, $30,000 for a cornea, heart, $130,000, liver, $98,000, etc. And they go into China and, they're matched up with someone who's going to be executed. And there have been people going from Australia and the like. And we know that's been happening with executions. That's unquestionably so. But are these executions simply also involving people because of their religious belief? Mate, that is a frightening prospect.
It is indeed. Tell us a little about Falun Gong, because we hear the name quite often, but what is it really all about?
Yeah, look, it's hard to really nail. They talk about truthfulness, compassion and forbearance as their major teaching, and they seem to be a very strong meditation based faith that has a lot of exercises, like spiritual exercises, like the sort of the yoga type exercises based on meditation. And they have at their heart three principles, as I said: truthfulness, compassion and forbearance. Some believe that there is some Buddhism mixed in with their basic belief and background. So, you know, they're a meditation exercise, a contemplation type movement, holding to truthfulness, compassion and forbearance as their model. And, you know, they're, for some reason, the Chinese government really finds them a threatening movement because of their growing influence in China and influencing people in spiritual ways of life. I find it extraordinary. You see them in parks and elsewhere doing their practice. They look a pretty harmless bunch to me.
Now, you mentioned also the underground Christian church there in China suffering persecution. We've heard a lot over the years of China opening up to churches, and yet we still hear of this persecution. So what's the real story?
Look, it's difficult, isn't it? I'm meant to be at this very moment actually in China with a bunch of church leaders from Australia, courtesy of the Chinese government, looking at what's happening in China. I didn't go for a number of reasons, and one being, in the end, my wife said, you can't go because of your concerns about human rights abuses in China. And it is difficult because they'll show you what they want to show you. And there's no doubt in many of the capital cities like Beijing and Shanghai, etc., many of the non-registered churches have a good deal of freedom. It appears often when you get into the rural areas and beyond the main cities that you know, the leaders of many of these churches, and there might be up to 70 or 80 million people involved in these churches, find persecution by local authorities. No doubt it's true, and some of them have been imprisoned, some have been executed over recent years, and there's a slight suggestion that some of them might be caught up in this trade in body parts as well.
Rodney Olson here, chatting to Ross Clifford. And Ross, we've really touched on this persecution in China, especially of religious people, their execution and use for body parts. It sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie, but it seems to be actually happening. The evidence that's coming out says that this is what's happening in China at the moment.
Yeah, look, very responsible evidence too, as I said, from people like David Kilgore and also from the United Nations and some of their reports. And, mate, if you're talking about thousands of people per year, isn't that's extraordinary. Apparently, people going from Australia over to China for body parts has decreased as Australians have become aware of what's going on. But that doesn't stop the trade around the world. And people of all faiths, you know, face persecution in this way. And we believe in the human dignity and human worth of all people. Certainly Christians do, and I'm sure people of other faiths hold to that as well. And, mate, we've got to stand up for this sort of stuff, and we've got to say that ain't on, and we're going to express our concerns.
How do we do that, though?
Oh, look, a number of ways. The federal government and opposition 12 months ago, when this issue was raised by David Kilgore and others, showed a great deal of concern and interest and promised to follow that up. The concern was at APEC, really nothing was said, and here were the leaders from China present, and we're all concerned about signing agreements for economic trade, which is valuable, and China is a country we need to be involved with, and they're our major trading partner, and if you don't get involved, you can't make a difference in the country. But the concern was very little was said, we believe, about what's happening in these human rights abuses. In fact, there was a meeting taking place in state parliament over the human rights abuses in China, and there were a number of phone calls trying to stop that meeting taking place because it might embarrass the Chinese when they're present in Australia. I think we've got to say to our federal parliamentarians, hey, we want this matter addressed, we want this issue addressed, and we want the United Nations and other independent groups to be able to check out the hospitals, detention centres, labour camps in China to actually determine whether this is taking place. We just don't want the Chaser program to be the one standing up to the Chinese on the execution of people for body parts.
It is interesting too, and of course the Beijing Olympics coming up, I mean, we've got to decide, do we boycott? I mean, is that really going to do anything? So there's other things that come into play too.
Yeah, look, there's been a call for boycott, and that came out in the last week, and a number of social and Christian leaders made that call. I'm not really, really sure. I mean, that has a huge impact on many Australians who have trained so hard, but at the end, you know, you can't train and compete in a country where such evil is going on. But you've got to ask that difficult question, how do we continue to influence China? How do we continue to influence China to continue to make progression, and they are? Do you do that by total withdrawal, or do you do that by, say, still competing in things like the Beijing Olympics, but at the same time saying our cooperation and our support for you as a nation doesn't come minus our speaking out on such issues?
You mentioned before there's a website where people can get a bit more information. Where can people find that?
Yeah, look, it's www.augustharvestinvestigation, one word, organharvestinvestigation.net, one word, augustharvestinvestigation.net, and the Kilgore report, etc., is called Bloody Harvest. And mate, if you go to that website and you follow up people like David Kilgore and Bloody Harvest, you'll see there's strong documentary evidence for what's going on here, evidence that will make us all concerned. And these guys are Crown prosecutors, you know, they're coming from, you know, good research backgrounds into crime and evil that's taking place. Tortured, executed because of their faith, body parts traded. Mate, really, I mean, let's all get together on this and say, no, please, China, this must be addressed.
Okay, where do we go next week?
Oh, look, let's go somewhere altogether different if we can, even though that was an important issue. I'd like to talk about the issue of doubt. I mean, is doubt part of our faith experience? And is it okay to doubt? And what happens when you do doubt? And part of that's been generated by Time magazine publishing last month the diary entries of Mother Teresa in some letters that indicate that for 50 years she sometimes felt that she was removed from the presence of God and suffered spiritual and faith doubt. I don't know if you've ever doubted. I have. I'm sure many of us have. Where does doubt fit into the question of faith, and is it okay to doubt, and how do we overcome it?
Yeah, it is a big one, because I guess for many people it's a case of you start to doubt, you don't want to show it, and that's one of the things that they're saying about Mother Teresa, that she wasn't prepared to admit to those doubts publicly, that there was a difference in her private life and her public face as far as faith goes. And I guess sometimes we can get caught up in that too. We can have those doubts, but do we admit to them, and what do we do with them? So a very interesting topic next week.
Yeah, I think it's important, and I think many people run with doubt for 4 or 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years perhaps, and then things happen and they come back and consider faith and the like again, and you know, they're listening, you know, they're part of the program, part of the family, and I think it's a very important issue.
Okay, look forward to talking to you about Mother Teresa and doubt this time next week.
God bless you, my friend.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.